What's up, Dog Pound? Welcome to another edition of Segura and Gribble, getting you ready here in the off season. And of course, the combine is in the past. Free agency about to explode tomorrow. There are tons of rumors out there, and we can talk to you about free agency today as we welcome your questions throughout this show. But we're going to go through the post-combine mock drafts. The first ones just dropped at clevelandbrowns.com from myself, you, and Patrick Max. And then also we have a lot of expert ones we're going to look at. So Gribbs, let's get into it. Picks 1, 12, and 33.
Clearly a great position for the Browns to be
great.
In. Very similar to last year, except you add in a first-round pick at that number 12 acquired from the Eagles last year. It seems like there's a real popular pick at number one, perhaps one of the most obvious maybe picks at number one in recent memory with very minimal debate. But the uncertainty at quarterback made for a non-unanimous number one pick selection among our panel.
Absolutely. And we'll go ahead and we'll take a look at that here. The top three for us, the Cleveland Browns people, we did our first mock draft. And you look at round one, pick one. Segura and Gribble, Myles Garrett. And I think a lot of people are of the consensus, and we'll see when we go through these other mock drafts, that it's Myles Garrett or bust. Dane Brugler, our friend on Cleveland Browns Daily, who's on every Friday at 2 o'clock, by the way, in case you want to tune in, said that this draft starts at pick two because Garrett went to the combine, put up an unbelievable showing. Everybody knew how good he was, and then he confirmed with athleticism off the charts in terms of his strength, his vertical 41 inches, 11-foot broad jump. He did 31 reps on the bench. This guy is a freak of nature, and hopefully he will find his way to the orange and brown.
Yeah, I think the big tag on him throughout his junior year was that he wasn't healthy, and that's why his production wasn't there. A lot of comparisons between his final year in college to what Joey Bosa did in his final year at Ohio State, and look at what Joey Bosa did in his first season in the NFL with the Chargers. Had a great year. I think with Garrett, the key thing for him is this is what he looks like when he is healthy, and he looks like one of the most freakish athletes we've seen at the combine in recent memory. I think that he looked like someone who could probably be even better than what he did at the combine. I think he can run the 40 faster. I bet he could probably bench press more if he wanted to. But it's an athlete that has proven it on the field, especially in his first 2 years at Texas A&M. And then when you talk about maybe all the times he was double team, triple team, and playing hurt, a pretty just impressive overall pass rusher, and as many said, a potential franchise-changing player.
Yeah, and some people have even said a franchise-saving player, talking about Myles Garrett. And earlier on Cleveland Browns Daily this week, we talked with Dave South, the play-by-play voice of Texas A&M, and he said the only person that has ever made an impact like him was Von Miller, and in fact, he thought Garrett's impact was even bigger, said he was well-loved by the student body, and dropped this. I don't know if you knew this. We know he likes tacos. Also a dinosaur aficionado, big into dinosaurs, and a guy who's kind of a little bit of a Renaissance man. And some people say, wait, whoa, 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 does that mean he doesn't love football? Absolutely loves the game after talking to Dave South.
No, he's a very different guy, and I think he answered the questions pretty well at the combine about his video that kind of leaked out in December about wanting to play for the Cowboys. You got to remember, at that point in time, it wasn't even clear that the Browns had the number one pick in the draft.
Yep.
It was kind of between the Browns and 49ers at that point. He's a guy that likes to have fun. He's not on social media very much, so that was a video that was taken by an ESPN employee, got out there and didn't really come out at the best possible time, but he said he was going to apologize to the Browns. Clearly they met at the combine. Going forward, it doesn't seem like there's going to be a lot of drama, but Mr. Max, who's very popular on Reddit after his mock draft,
I heard.
He doesn't think they're going with Myles Garrett at number one.
Well, look, and I understand the rationale for it. And by the way, continue to get your questions in here. We'll answer them live on air, so ask us your questions. But he goes quarterback, and I understand it. Quarterback's the most important position in all of professional sports. The Browns have the number one pick, which means they have an opportunity to get the top quarterback on their board, which he believes is Mitchell Trubisky. No, not Mitch. Mitchell Trubisky out of North Carolina. Although you see what's going on in the NFL today. Tyrod Taylor restructures his contract. He stays with the Bills. The Bears are going to sign Mike Glennon. The 49ers have signed Brian Hoyer today and are looking still to trade for Kirk Cousins. The quarterback market is shrinking, and some people think that that is because coming out of the combine, teams are not as enamored with this quarterback class as maybe the media believes that they are.
Yeah, I think the reason why I'm not ready to just completely dismiss this theory at number one is because quarterbacks are always overdrafted year after year. If you fall in love with the guy, you need to guarantee you get the guy. And for the Browns, even after all this quarterback movement in the offseason, the only way to guarantee you're going to get the quarterback you want is to take him number one. And clearly there's other paths to getting that, maybe trading back a few spots with some teams you know aren't going to take a quarterback. But that's why this theory will not die until the quarterback position is addressed. Because if you are uncomfortable waiting until 12, if you don't think your guy's going to be there, that's a big risk that many teams are willing to take.
Well, yeah, and you look at the non-draft quarterback options for the Browns. A lot of people thought it was Tyrod Taylor. Well, you can cross that one off, and then the other is the trade for Jimmy Garoppolo, which brings us, and many people say maybe it's pick 12. Our first question today, what do you think about either trading up or down at pick 12? And I'll tell you what, I'm okay with it Either way, I'm okay with trading the pick outright for Garoppolo. I'm okay with staying at 12 and making a pick, as you'll see on the next slide. I'm also okay with moving up. If they say there's a quarterback they love, you get Myles Garrett at one, you got these assets to get that quarterback in the draft, you can move up and get him. Or if you want to try to get some more assets for 18, where there is supposedly a great quarterback class, then maybe you move down at 12. So I think that the options are open at 12. At one, though, I want to stay there. I want to see Myles Garrett.
I think in this year's draft, I'm more inclined to trade up, because I think there's some positions of need for the Browns where there's some elite players that could go in that top six, top eight range, specifically the safeties, whether it's Jamal Adams, Malik Hooker, potentially a Jabril Peppers who's had his stock rise over the last week out of Michigan. I think there's a lot of value there, and I think that the trade that the Browns got last year to go from 8 to 15 was a unique one. I think it you're not going to get that much.
That kind of a haul.
And then
yep.
That was a big haul for the Browns to get a future second-round pick and an additional third-round pick, which is what they got. I don't think they're going to get that much. So I think that trading up in this year's draft might be your better value play and better ability to get elite talent on this roster.
All right, let's go there to number 12 now. And in my mock, I have the Browns making a trade for Jimmy Garoppolo. So quarterback wasn't on my radar at pick 12 because you took a second round this year, maybe a second round in 18. Whatever you had to do, you kept picks 1, 12, and 33. You get Garoppolo in the mix. So maybe that's 52 in next year's one, something like that. Maybe. I'm a little crazy, but I want this guy, Malik Hooker, and that goes back to your point, maybe about trading up. You could trade up for Hooker. You also, I think, now could trade up, and if you get to pick 5 from 12, you're ahead of everybody that needs a quarterback right now, because if they make a big investment in Glennon, I don't see the Bears taking one, and I think with Hoyer there, they probably feel like they have a bridge that they can address another position and get a quarterback later. But at number 12, this is my dream scenario, by the way, is that you get Garrett at one, and then you get your Ed Reed on the back end and Malik Hooker.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because we talk about these quarterback needy teams in the draft. I think the one lone remaining one in front of the Browns now is potentially the Jets at number 6.
Yep.
And in my mock draft, that's where I have them taking Deshaun Watson. It still wouldn't surprise me, though, if they completely bypass the quarterback position, punt for next year, or go for a guy in the later rounds like a Davis Webb, a Nathan Peterman, guys like that. That's why I think Mitchell Trubisky is going to be available at number 12.
I think
12.
It's very possible.
I think it's gotten to the point now where I think the Browns are in the position to either take the first quarterback or the second quarterback in the draft. The only thing that can maybe throw this off is if that alleged Kirk Cousins to the 49ers trade happens. It involves the 49ers and Redskins trading first-round picks. The Redskins are suddenly at number 2. Odds are they'd be looking at a quarterback at that spot.
All right, so you've got Trubisky there. And in my mock, in fact, which is available at clevelandbrowns.com on the Browns mobile app, all three of ours are there. I didn't have a quarterback coming off the board till number 10, which was Watson to Buffalo. Obviously, that's not a need. So in my mind, all these quarterbacks are going to be there at 12. We got a question here. If Hooker is gone at 12, what's your backup plan? I think there are a lot of ways that the Browns could go if he is, in fact, gone at number 12. I think you have an opportunity to take. Maybe you need a receiver. Mike Williams could be there for you. You have an opportunity, I think, to move back. Or if you hadn't traded for a quarterback, obviously that's where you go, and you get the best quarterback on your board at that point, number 12. There are corners that are going to be available that are very good in this deep corner draft. So there are a lot of options, I think, if you're the Cleveland Browns at number 12. Or you could move back. Or, now you're going to see when you get to my pick 33, why I wouldn't do this. Not why I wouldn't do it, but why it's not necessary. O.J. Howard, a dominant tight end for this offense.
I look at three positions at that number 12 spot if you don't get a quarterback or a safety. I look at edge rushers, where you got a guy like a Derek Barnett, a Taco Charlton perhaps. I look at tight end, where you could maybe be the first team that takes O.J. Howard, a David Njoku. Or I look at the defensive back, cornerback position. There's just a lot of talent there. Tease Tabor, Sidney Jones. There's just a lot of potential first-round picks at that spot. Those would be the three positions I think you hit if these are not the two you're able to get.
So Max has us going Solomon Thomas here at number 12. I think he's gone. I'm going 2 in my mock to the San Francisco 49ers. I don't think he makes it to number 12.
He's not too similar to the other guys that they've drafted in the recent years?
He is similar there, but I've heard some connections that they are very high on Solomon Thomas. Keep him in the Bay Area from Stanford.
We'll see.
We'll see. I think he goes early. Do you think he's there at 12?
I don't, but I think I don't think he's going 2. I think I picked Jamal Adams to go number 2. I still would not rule out Jonathan Allen to go to number 2. I'm discounting all the medical stuff that came out this week with Jonathan Allen. I think he's okay. He says he's okay. He says it's not going to be something that bothers him until he retires. So I think sometimes we like to get a little creative at this time of year and
sure.
Move guys up when they're really not moving up at all. I'm going to stick with the basics and say Solomon Thomas is maybe an 8 or 9 pick.
And by the way, this is still my dream scenario with Malik Hooker, and I think the injuries are the only reason that he might be available there at number 12. But to your point, maybe you have to move up a little bit if you really do want to get him and get ahead of the Chargers. Why would we trade for Garoppolo? Have you seen that quarterback jersey? What do you mean, why would we trade for Garoppolo? The Browns need a franchise quarterback. If they believe that he is a franchise quarterback, then you do whatever you have to do to go get him. So I think it really comes down to, A, are the Patriots willing to trade him? B, is he the guy that's at the top of Hugh Jackson's wish list? And C, how much better do you think he is than somebody that you think you could draft this year at pick number 12 or moving up?
I think the question is simply just, is he available? That's what's up for debate right now. If he was officially available, he's the best quarterback probably out there on the market and a more sure thing to come in and start right away than probably any of these quarterbacks in the draft class. The key question, though, is if he's available. There's been reports saying he's not. Then there's
Nobody believes that, by the way.
Common logic that everyone has a price, especially on the Patriots. So we'll see. It just seems like it's going to take a big offer to make that, and maybe a bigger offer than what you speculated.
Somebody told me that Bill Belichick would trade his wife for two first-round picks, so maybe Jimmy Garoppolo would be available. He's a wheeler and a dealer. I imagine if the interest is truly there, there's an offer that could be made that he would not refuse. But then again, we never know. We'll have to see how this all plays out. Now, here's another question. Should we focus on our O-line as opposed to a quarterback this year? I'll let you start because this question boggles my mind.
First up, I think you can do both. When you have this many assets, that much money. Secondly, I think the offensive line needs to heal up and grow up. There's some younger guys like a Sean Coleman, Spencer Drango, Joel Bitonio, and John Greco both dealing with Liz Frank injuries. You have the future Hall of Famer and Joe Thomas. I think you're okay there. I think you can address it later, potentially with a center in the second or third round, a Pat Elflein from Ohio State, maybe an Ethan Posick from LSU. That's where you can help this out, or maybe you go in free agency and get a Kevin Zeitler or a Larry Warford to help you out at that guard position. Austin Pastore is still out there that you can potentially re-sign, add him to the group. I still think you can do both. So yes. I think that's the issue with offensive line. Secondly, when it comes to the draft, one of the worst offensive line classes when it comes to elite first-round talent in years. I think we're talking about potentially the first offensive lineman off the board is going to be a guard, and that would be Forrest Lamp. Ryan Ramczyk's only played 1 year in college at Wisconsin. Cam Robinson is either a tackle or a guard. There's going to be a couple offensive linemen in the first round, but this is nothing like a couple years ago where you had about three or four of those guys in the top 10.
Another name to keep an eye on at free agency is J.C. Tretter, the center from Green Bay. And I'll also say this. Look, if you have a quarterback who consistently gets the ball out quickly, it makes your offensive line look a heck of a lot better. And I think the Browns' offensive line is actually right in the middle of the league, if not maybe even a little bit better than that. But quarterbacks were holding the ball too long last year. If they get a guy who can get it out, I think you're going to see the offensive line play significantly improved in terms of the stats that you all are looking for. So we've gone through picks 1 and 12. Let's look at pick 33 now, the first pick of the second round. And I wanted to get a weapon for this team. And I thought the tight ends were great. I've been enamored with O.J. Howard, but I said, look, this is why you don't have to take one early. To your point here, at 33, Evan Engram out of Ole Miss. He is a mismatch nightmare, kind of fits the size profile of Jordan Reed. Jordan Reed's been a great player in the NFL, but this guy, a better athlete, ran a 4.42 at the combine. I think this guy could do a lot in Hugh Jackson's offense.
He's basically a wide receiver. I mean, I think that's what it comes down to. I mean, I think he's a tight end by name only. Potentially, you put him inside a handful of times, but that's not where he's going to live.
He's
a very good player, and I think that 33. I think he's going to be available too, because even when I went through my mock draft, as good as we've said this tight end class, I just couldn't pull the trigger outside of O.J. Howard going in the first round, because I think it just all comes down to, are you willing to invest a first-round pick in a tight end? I just kept went team by team, and I just didn't see many teams, especially in that latter half of the first round, because a lot of them have their tight end position settled already. They're a good offensive team. They're in the playoffs. They're moving the ball with that tight end. I think he'll be available. I think potentially Njoku will be available too there at 33.
And that would be an interesting decision to get to make that. Two guys very well regarded. And you went for another combine superstar, Senior Bowl guy. You saw him down there from UConn, the safety, 6'4". What did he do? 44-inch vertical and almost a 12-foot broad jump. Ran a 4.4. Obi Melifonwu.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that he just had the best broad jump and vertical jump at the combine. It just blew everyone away. It was about 5 inches more than everyone else. A freakish athlete who has been off the radar at playing at Connecticut, but clearly a safety that could probably, he's almost a tweener when it comes to a safety. He looks like a long range guy, but he can also be a thumper. He's big enough. He's a smart guy. He's been really ascending. And then I think the combine was where it kind of peaked, because he just had a great weekend. And I think that he's someone that can be available in the second round. potentially you could trade back a little bit and get him, but I like him. I think he's someone that would really impress well upon the coaches, and someone they can believe they can plug in right away.
Last defensive back that had similar measurables to him at the combine, also from UConn, not as tall, but in terms of the vertical, the broad jump, the 40, Byron Jones, also from UConn, who went on to be a first-round pick for the Cowboys and has been a pretty good player for them so far. Here comes a question. Why a tight end when we have DeValve and Barnage? We have other positions that need help. I think when you looked at this offense, one of the things that was missing was that high-level productivity from the tight end, and I think Hugh Jackson needs that extra weapon. And Gary Barnage is a very, very good pro, but he's a little long in the tooth at his age right now, and he's not a guy that's going to stretch the field down the seam like an Ingram could be or be a mismatch guy. I think you look at Seth DeValve, similar in a way because he's an off-the-line guy. You've got Telfer as your blocker, but DeValve is a guy that you're going to use in your two tight end packages as opposed to being the featured guy. Evan Ingram has a chance to be a special player along the lines of O.J. Howard, who many people are comparing to Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, and again, we talk about this every year. Your goal in building a roster is to create competition every spot.
Get better.
You can't get complacent at every roster spot. And I think the tight end position, if you're ranking them on the roster as it stands, probably in the top half on which ones you feel good about, but that doesn't mean you're not going to add players to that position.
No,
and I think it's just one of those things where these are special players who can help you and supplement your tight end room. It still means you can keep Barnage and DeValve. You're just going to get deeper and better.
Look, and they had Jermaine Gresham in Cincinnati and used a first-round pick on Tyler Eifert, so they're not afraid. Hugh Jackson thinks the guy can help his offense to pull the trigger early at that spot. All right, we look at Patrick Max Buda Baker here, a guy that a lot of people think could go in the first round, a safety, very talented player out of the University of Washington. So that's our mocks. We're going to answer a question here real quickly. Because it is a defensive-heavy draft, and you see that is I went defense, defense, offense. You went defense, offense, defense. Max went offense, defense, defense. So two out of the top three picks, defense for the Browns there. Who do you go after in free agency on the offensive side of the ball? What positions, and if there are any names you want to go to?
I think I look at the offensive line, offensive guard, guys like Zeitler, Warford, good guys that are guards that you can maybe count on, plug them in right away. They're going to be here for years on end, guys you don't have to worry about. I look at offensive line. I also look at wide receiver. There's a lot of guys out there. I think that looking at NFL.com's top 101 free agent list, there's about 14 wide receivers out there, ranging in various ages and skill sets, but there's veterans out there that you can add to a room that is very young right now. Even if Terrell Pryor comes back, it's still going to be young, and you're still going to need to add a veteran, maybe like a Robert Woods, guys like that, to make you deeper and overall more experienced.
No, I agree with you, and I think on the offensive line, you're looking in the interior, guard and center. I talked about J.C. Treader earlier. You mentioned the two top guards, Zeitler, getting a lot of attention around the NFL right now, could break the bank in the eight-figure range. And then I agree, wide receiver. And look, even if Pryor comes back, that's the number one priority, but Pryor and Coleman on the outside, Andrew Hawkins no longer here. You need somebody. Maybe one of these young guys can step up, but I think another veteran to give Hugh Jackson what he had when he had A.J. Green, Sanu, and Marvin Jones, three receivers, and I think you're looking at guys, you mentioned Robert Woods, the Browns have been linked to Kamar Aiken, who 2 years ago had almost 1,000 yards for the Baltimore Ravens, can play that slot, 4-4 speed, so I think there are guys to look at that position. Kendall Wright, the former first rounder, can certainly come in and be a slot guy with some vertical ability and good speed for you, so I think there are guys in that range that can come in and be the third receiver on this team and work out of the slot and really help out Hugh Jackson's offense in the free agency pool. All right, we're going to go ahead and move through now and look at some of the mock drafts of the experts. And we're going to start with Bucky Brooks and Charlie Casserly of NFL.com. Miles Garrett, you're going to see that at number one. And then Leonard Fournette here for Bucky Brooks. Again, I just don't see it. I think if they want to get a running back, it's such a deep class. It's not a position of need. Maybe it's one where they'd like to upgrade with Crow being an unrestricted free agent following next season if they don't get a long-term deal. But I don't see it happening at pick 12.
And I just don't see Fournette being available.
He's gone. Carolina.
I think he had a very good combine. The vertical leap stuff was probably overblown. He's very fast, very big. I think Carolina is a potential fit. There's even rumors about the 49ers taking him at number two. He's an impressive running back that is likely to be the first off the board.
Charlie Casserly going to the Andrew Gribble School of Mock Drafting with Garrett and Trubisky. And again, I think that's a popular way. If there's no trade for Garoppolo, you get Garrett, and then you do whatever you have to do to get Hugh Jackson, the quarterback that he wants to run this offense. Mitch Trubisky here, the pick for Charlie Casserly. As we roll through CBS Sports Now, Pete Prisco and Dane Brugler. Again, Garrett, one. Listen, this is as unanimous as it gets, it seems, other than for Patrick Max out there. And as you mentioned, the Reddit people were like, get out of here, Patrick Max, with that nonsense. But nonetheless, Garrett, and then again, Garrett Trubisky for Dane Brugler. That is a popular combination that's really starting to emerge for the Browns. Tease Tabor here, and we talked about corners. If a quarterback's not there, or if you drafted a quarterback, and let's say Hooker's not there, cornerback could be in play.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of options, Tabor being one of them. Another guy that people aren't even talking about much, which is crazy because he's from Alabama, Marlon Humphrey is another corner that could be available, big, physical, can help you out at that spot. But I think with Brugler, and I could be wrong with this, this is a popular opinion that Trubisky would be the number two quarterback off the board, because I think a lot of them have Watson going earlier, which makes me wonder what happens if all the quarterbacks are available. Then it's going to come down really to personal fit. Or is there a scenario where the Browns are at number 12, all the quarterbacks are available, and they still pass it and go on to another position?
I don't know about that. Maybe if Jimmy Garoppolo is here, you could do that. And that gets to this question. If Trubisky, Kizer, and Watson are gone at 12, who is next on your radar? I don't think that scenario happens. I don't see that happening anymore. The three quarterbacks go before pick number 12. But next on my radar would be Patrick Mahomes at that point. But I would likely be looking to either make a move at quarterback or move down. I don't think you're going to see four quarterbacks go in the top 12. In fact, I think it's more likely that zero go in the top 10 than three.
I'm a big Davis Webb fan, so he would be my next one up at four. Worked with Hugh Jackson and the coaching staff, has done nothing but improve. A very confident guy, clearly, believes he has the best arm in the draft. I think he's shown the ability to prove doubters wrong about his air raid label. I think he's someone that could go in the second round and potentially help you down the road.
Do you see us taking two quarterbacks in the draft? It is possible. I think you could see maybe a Trubisky or a Kizer early, and then maybe a Nathan Peterman or a Davis Webb on day two. I think it's possible. I don't know how likely it is, but yes, it's possible. And then do you believe in John Ross after running a 4-2? He was kind of came in as the third receiver, left as the third receiver, but that 4-2 certainly opened a lot of eyes. Unfortunately, wasn't wearing Adidas, so no island for John Ross.
I believe in him. I believed in him before the draft. I believe in him afterward. Yeah. He's a DeSean Jackson type of receiver. Not going to be your distinct number one, get the ball to every play, but someone that stretches the field and really helps out the other guys as well.
I don't know that he's a fit for us, given that you already have Corey Coleman sub 6 foot, to have two guys under 6 feet on the outside.
Yeah, and I just think he's someone that's going to fall in that like 16 to 25 range, which is just an area where you're probably not going to trade down for him. He's probably not going to be there at 33, so it's one of those you almost kind of write off.
All right, let's go ahead and get through to the next group of mock drafts. Our final group, Matt Miller and Nate Davis from Bleacher Report and USA Today. Again, Garrett and then O.J. Howard, and then Garrett and Trubisky. So the most popular combo is Garrett and Trubisky, but everybody, the experts, we went through six of them here, you and I, that's eight, all Miles Garrett, and then we got Max with Trubisky. But nonetheless, Garrett and Trubisky, the most popular combination right now.
Yeah, and I honestly, when I made my mock draft, I hadn't even seen most of these with the Trubisky pick. I thought I was maybe going out on a limb thinking that he'd be available at number 12, because a lot of projections.
It's a sturdy limb, because there's a lot of people out there.
A lot of projections before the draft did not have Trubisky being available at 12. I don't know what that means about a combine performance, what people are hearing about teams' overall feelings about the quarterbacks, but clearly the direction that we're seeing quarterbacks go since the combine has been down.
Well, you've heard Merrill Hodge was very critical of him. Greg Cosell voiced some concerns. And I think coming out of the combine, the sense was that, yes, he has a lot of traits. He doesn't have any superstar trait. And, yes, he can be very good. But it will probably take some time when teams kind of got into the meeting room with him in terms of his ability to go through into the NFL and deal with some of the zone blitz concepts he's going to be seeing on a regular basis from NFL defenses. So I think kind of all the quarterbacks kind of came out of their push down, because Watson had the questions going in. Because you look at his college resume and you say, well, why isn't this guy the number one overall pick slam dunk? Well, there are questions about his play. I thought Kizer had a rough showing in Indy. I thought, when you think about Trubisky and accuracy being his calling card, in a day where they're in shorts, he missed some throws that he probably shouldn't have. And then Mahomes was very inconsistent, which is kind of to be expected. But at the same time, you thought in shorts, he was going to wow with his just natural ability to throw the ball. So I don't think anybody went in there and blew everybody away. I think Watson probably helped himself the most, which is ironic that we're saying people help themselves because they're throwing against non-defense and throwing against air. But when you have a problem against air, that I think people take notice of. And I thought Kizer looked very inconsistent. His footwork, he looked like a guy who was trying to do what he was supposed to do, as opposed to a guy going out there, dropping back, and throwing the football.
Yeah, just a very different vibe than what we had last year. Because I think there was a similar feeling about the quarterbacks last year, about how, I don't know if any of these guys are ready to go right away, Goff, Wentz, Paxton Lynch. But then after the combine, there was a little bit of buzz on how they were throwing. And just that overall, I think the feelings that the teams were maybe higher on these guys than the draft analysts were. Now it looks like the teams are kind of matching up with where the draft analysts thought about these guys. But it's still, I'd be stunned if we had a 2013 situation where the first quarterback goes 18. I think a quarterback will go before that point in the draft.
I do too. I think the likely landing spot, if let's say the Browns make a trade for Garoppolo, I think the Jets right now are the team you're looking at the most for a quarterback early. And then I think the next team you're looking at is the Arizona Cardinals. And I've heard a lot of people linking DeShone Kizer to them. He fits what Bruce Arians wants. A big pocket quarterback would have the opportunity to learn behind Carson Palmer and get the seasoning I think that he would need. And it's possible that's the first quarterback off the board this year.
I do think they'll have a tough time passing up Mike Williams if he's available. At number 13, the heir apparent to Larry Fitzgerald has been compared to him physically. They know Larry Fitzgerald's great, but it's kind of like Tom Brady. You know, he's got maybe 1 year left, and it's going to be good, but then he's going to be gone, and you need a replacement.
Yes, you do. Are there any offensive linemen worth taking at number 12? I mean, some people have Ramchick going in the top 10. I've seen that to the Giants, but for the most part, it doesn't seem like this is a draft to do that. In fact, unless you were a better team than, you know, where the Browns are, where you have a lot of holes, you got to get the best player, and I don't think anybody's going to have an offensive lineman top 12 on their big board overall if they're not looking for an intersection of need and talent.
Yeah, it looks like this. The mock drafts project. I mean, this was a case in the playoffs. A lot of teams in the playoffs this past year had questions along the offensive line, and it looks like those are the teams that are going to be addressing it. You look at the Seahawks. You look at the Vikings. I mean, those are teams that are going to be addressing the offensive line. And that's going to be later in the first round, whether it be Forrest Lamp, Garrett Bowles, Ramchick, Cam Robinson. Those guys are all projected to be first-rounders, but they're usually projected about 20 to 32.
All right. Well, the draft, you know, still over a month away. Free agency opens tomorrow at 4 o'clock. We will have you covered with all the latest here at ClevelandBrowns.com and the Browns mobile app. So certainly be sure to tune in tomorrow, and hopefully the Browns will be making some moves as they have more cap room than any team in the NFL. And this is sure to be an exciting time as the team adds new pieces. For Sir Andrew Gribble, I am Nathan Zgirsay. Thanks for watching us here on whatever we call this, Browns Live. That's right, Browns Live on Facebook Live and Periscope.